Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the broadcaster and the host of Not Today Thank You, brilliant podcast, Jake Yap. Jake, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Hiya. What have you brought to talk about today?
Over the Edge. Because my first memory of television, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah, I remember seeing it on the little black and white set when we lived down in Kent, the home of racism. That's not why we lived there.
Were you just not keen fans of Cheer on a Saturday?
We turned up the brightness a lot. We just wanted white. We didn't want black and white. But I remember being utterly transfixed by this little steam engine.
Well, you know, it was being made down the road from you. So whereabouts were you in Kent?
I was just outside Edenbridge near Tunbridge.
Don't know where it is. So it's not far away. So this was being made in Blean in Kent, which is not far from Canterbury.
Okay.
And it was being made in the barn of Peter Firmin with Oliver Postgate, his friend and collaborator, in the small films kind of place.
Yes.
Which I have been to, Jake.
Shut up.
I've touched it. It's real.
You have not.
Yep. I stood by Bagpuss's window. So I was one of the lucky journalists who got to go and interview Peter Firmin in his lifetime. Sadly, we lost him last year.
Yeah.
Just one of the most incredible people I've ever met, and his lovely wife. And it was just a magical day. I took my son out of school. I was like, he is not missing this. We hothoused him. We made him watch Bagpuss and just clangers and everything. And he has a Bagpuss that never leaves his side.
Clockwork Orange.
Completely, yes. Held his eyes open until he went, I love it. Turn it off. I love it. Yes, exactly that. But no, we took him down there with us because it was just too magical and lovely. And Peter Firmin, we did an interview with him, and his wife Joan took my husband and son on a nature trail in the field behind their house. Then I made them a cake and we had tea, and it was just one of the most magical days. But yes, the Bagpuss's window is their kitchen window. So they lived in that house for the whole of their married life.
Forever. I think Ivy the Engine was the first small films.
Yes, I think it was the first thing they collaborated on together. I think Postgate had done a couple of things for Associated Radio Fusion, and then they sort of teamed up.
Well, I just loved it. And Wales had a sort of mythical place in my heart because it's where we would spend summers.
Oh, really?
We would camp in this little valley.
In the top left-hand corner or somewhere else?
It was not in the top left-hand corner. It was right in the middle. But, you know, the association for me of Wales was of joy and escape and peace and happiness.
Yeah.
And so this little engine was this kind of representative of all that I held dear.
Yeah.
I mean, Oliver Postgate, the sparsity of the writing and what it said was just brilliant. His deep empathy, I think, with the mind of a child. In the first series, which is in black and white.
This is like in the late 50s, isn't it?
Late 60s, I think.
Okay, because I think it took me a while to realise that there were kind of two iterations. There was black and white, was it for ITV?
Right.
And then colour, I think, was BBC. I might have that wrong. Geeks, get in touch. But there were two different kind of runs of the show. So I think the colour version was 75 to 77.
Okay.
So maybe that was the first time you saw it, but they were probably repeating the black and white ones as well.
No, I'm sure I saw the colour ones first, but on a black and white TV.
Yeah, but I think there were like, let's see. No, I do have this written down. I don't mind saying like. There were 40 episodes in colour and 32 in black and white.
Wow.
So I know. So there's a lot of Ivor the Engine out there. And I think it probably is mostly available on DVD now, unless some of the black and whites are lost. But it was this kind of incredible cutout paper stop motion animation.
Yeah.
There was like watercolours, just again, very muted, pretty palettes of like pale greens and sort of very gentle on the eyes, gentle on the ears. Oliver Postgate's voice is very synonymous with relaxation and comforting childhood loveliness. And
the pacing of it was immaculate. It was story time. It was absolutely sitting down and having a beloved relative read you a nice story.
Yeah.
You know, there was no attempt to dazzle you or excite you excessively.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a line in the first episode which says, "Ivor didn't much like the viaduct. It was a bit tall."
And you think,
that's poetry. That's right. I don't want spaceships flying around. You know, I want you to understand how I'd feel about going over a viaduct
exactly.
as a four-year-old.
Yeah, no, precisely. It's a bit tall.
And the opening, the first story is of how Ivor the Engine gets his pipes. He's got these three pipes, sort of whistles.
Oh, that make the three different notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Played on the bassoon by
Vernon
Elliott.
The theme tune.
Yeah. Magical.
So beautiful.
And he was one of the founding members of the Philharmonia Orchestra.
I didn't know that. I didn't know much about him.
He was proper. He was.
I've listened to lots of his. Obviously, like hipsters release them on vinyl all the time now, and they're brilliant. You can get like the music from Bagpuss, probably the Clangers. I think I've got both of those.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it's just such beautiful music.
Yes.
And he was a genius.
So Ivor, the story in the first thing is Ivor doesn't have these pipes and he's waiting on the viaduct for the driver, Mr. Jones, to go and deliver
Jones
some,
the steam.
Jones the steam.
I apologise for my Welsh accent. Jake's is rather better.
No, it isn't. to go and deliver the fish. And, I mean, it's not bad. Welsh, sort of Gallic, Gallo-Gallic, anyway.
You're just trying to make me feel better, thanks.
And so he's waiting and he hears the choir singing. It's the Grumbly and District Choral Society.
Yeah.
And he starts to cry because he wants to join in. I can feel it.
Are you all right, Jake?
No,
Do you want to stop for a glass
of
water? Or?
And he says, this is the line, I transcribed it. It was like the hills and the valleys, the trees and the gasworks all singing together. Singing their praises to the golden evening sun. It's like, oh, man,
I can't.
And I think he recorded the voiceover in a wardrobe.
Really?
I think that was how they did the sound insulation.
Oh, amazing.
But it gives it this beautiful wooden acoustic.
Yeah.
I genuinely...
It's a sound booth, isn't it? Basically, it's a way to stop the sound from going too far away.
But
yeah.
I sometimes try to replicate it in a sort of horrible clinical...
At least that's what you say when you're found in your wardrobe.
Crying and rocking to and fro, saying, Ivor, come back. No, this is really geeky, but I do a podcast and occasionally...
I love geeks!
If I put reverb on a voice to give it some room atmos, I've got some reverb called Small Wooden Room or something.
Oh.
And it just has a slight hint of Ivor the Engine.
Oh, that's very nice.
A nice warm closeness to it.
Like it.
So I just think it's a magical series. I will tell you, I recently, in the last few weeks, bought brand new the Ivor the Engine board game.
Okay.
And what I can tell you is that you could watch all 72 episodes in the time it takes to set up the board game.
Oh, no, not one of those. Oh.
But it's a good game.
It is good, but it's worth all the effort, you're saying.
You drive your steam train, your Ivor the Engine, around picking up sheep.
Yeah, you're Mrs. Porty's
sort of
hat.
Curb crawling.
Nice, okay.
But yes, Mrs. Porty's house is
right.
There.
Right, oh, okay, is
on
it?
On the board, yeah.
I know there's a whole episode about her hat. Do you remember her hat being delivered?
Yeah.
I like that one. Mrs. Porty's hat. Yeah. If I'd had an indie band, I'd have called it that.
That's a great
right?
Yeah.
I know.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
You think I could have an indie band at
44? Yeah, the 90s are still going.
Fair play.
Keep it going.
Did you show this to your son? You have a son, right?
I do, and I haven't.
Okay.
But I'm going to quite soon because we've started playing the Ivor the Engine board game.
Okay.
And he's now obsessed.
And he's like, what is this for? Why?
Yeah, he's like, oh, Ivor the Engine. I love Ivor the Engine. And he
Amazing.
Only knows it from this insanely long-winded game. So I can't wait to
It'll
show
It'll be a
him.
Pleasant surprise, I imagine. There's nothing to set up. You just press play and, you
yeah.
know. Lovely stories.
Yeah.
That's lovely. How will you feel? Are you going to cry again now? Yeah. How will you feel watching it through your son's eyes, Jake?
I mean, what do you want from me? What kind
tears.
Of emotional, yeah.
Loads of tears.
I will feel something. It's been a funny, if you really want to get into it, I've had a slightly weird relationship with Wales. Like, it was always my favourite place.
And I wonder
Engine, because
of Ivor the Engine.
Because of escaping there. You
yeah, because holidays are obviously always happy places.
My sanctuary.
Yeah.
I even wrote a song about it once, which,
you?
If you're very unlucky, I'll send you.
Don't sing it now.
No. And so, you know, Wales was always really important. And bizarrely, I went there a couple of years ago. And it wasn't a good trip, and I suddenly felt very different about Wales.
Like, oh no, have I spoiled Wales in my memory, sort of thing.
In a kind of, I think I felt slightly, I'm not sure that Wales loves me back.
Oh, no.
You know, as much as I love it. But I'm now not in that place anymore. And I think seeing, yeah, my little boy feels about Wales, I think, something of what I do.
Oh, that's kind of magic.
Yeah.
How lovely.
And yeah, seeing anything through your kid's eyes is just the most wonderful.
It's brilliant.
Imaginable.
Yeah, even if you force them to like it. Sorry, Douglas. but you know, it's stuff. He likes it now. He doesn't know why. He just knows he does. And he's got to forever.
It's weird how his left leg starts going, but yeah.
He's fine. He's fine. He's totally fine.
Of course he is.
I think actually he has got a bagpuss. We did take it with us when we went to visit Peter Firmin, and he was most upset because they had done a merchandising deal, I think, in the early 90s,
yes,
which finally sort of unlocked. And that's why you can see Bagpuss and Clangers and, you know, Ivor merchandise everywhere, probably the board game too.
Yes.
And he just said, that's not canon. The fur's all wrong. It's like the stripes are too close together. And Doug was like, I was like, no, but it's fine. Cause I think it's just an old, but it's 40 years old. I think it's like a pajama case. I'm not really sure where it came from. I'm really sorry. Anyway, moving on.
Have cake.
He wasn't mean about it. But he's just like, you know, with the forensic eye of someone who made freaking Bagpuss in the first place. Yeah, he was like, Anna, the fur's all wrong. What's that then?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's an old family heirloom.
Slowly pushing his head into the cake.
But those shows, you show them to kids now, and the right kind of child, I mean, not the ones raised on PlayStations, they still have the magic. It's the...
But I think even the ones raised on PlayStations.
You know,
my kid, he's currently watching Star Wars Resistance and playing Lego Star Wars.
Yeah.
And stuff. But I'm confident that Ivor will find a place in his heart too.
I think so. Because then you can get him onto the hard stuff, Pingwings. I'm telling you.
Pingwings.
Get him onto the Pingwings. It's great. It's just little penguins shuffling around the barn in Bleen. It's all filmed in the same place. Yeah, so have you not even heard of the Pingwings?
I've not seen the Pingwings.
Jeez, tell me you know Noggin the Nog.
Of course I know Noggin the Nog.
Right, small films homework, Pingwings. It's on DVD, Jake.
Okay, sorry.
I thought you were a massive nerd.
Physical media's dead, Julia.
You've misrepresented yourself. Right, thank you so much for bringing that. God, that ended on a nasty note. It's about Ivor the Engine. This is all wrong. I should apologise to small films now. Before you go.
Yes.
And thank you for bringing, honestly, thank you for bringing Ivor. I love him
it's
too.
My pleasure.
Please take a question from the Box of Delights.
All right. Bergerac or Lovejoy? Well.
Depends what for, doesn't it? But like. I mean, seriously,
you're right,
it does.
If you're constipated.
Yeah, but then neither.
Yeah.
Okay, who do you want to go at first of all? Who do you want to go to the pub with?
Oh.
You can only go with one.
I would say probably Lovejoy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really remember Bergerac, but I feel like John Nettle seemed quite laconic in it.
Okay.
That's just my perception because I didn't really watch either of them.
You didn't really watch...
So this is a tricky one for me.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Lovejoy.
Because he's fun, a bit of a wag, and there's a lot about antiques.
There's stuff going on there. Yeah, antiques and...
Twinkle in the eye.
And gunslinging. Does it have to be the character? Am I going with the character?
Yes, of course the character.
Oh.
What are you talking about? This isn't about Deadwood, it's about Lovejoy. Take it seriously.
I'm taking it seriously.
God.
I'll go with who you want to go. Who would you... I want to... Come on.
Okay, well, I think you're right. In the pub, Lovejoy would be a right laugh. And Bergerac would be too. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, he'd probably say, I'm on duty, just the one. You know, no one wants to hear that in the pub. That'd be like, oh, come on, let your hair down. Take off your bomber jacket. Pub, Lovejoy.
Did he talk like that?
He was sort of a bit country.
No, quite... Like that?
No. Bergerac was sort of, he lived on Jersey, and I don't know if there's an accent for that, but he was a little bit sort of country, I don't know, a bit like that, wasn't he?
I don't know.
A little bit rough around the edges. Not the real guy, obviously. John Nettles is incredibly well-spoken. And when I was a teenager, he came to the RSC, which is down the road from where I lived, and he came to this thing at my local youth theatre, and we all got to meet him. And he was terribly, terribly nice and very well-spoken, RP. He said, there's all this jobs for you all down the road. And we just thought he was great. Okay, so we go to the pub with Lovejoy. In a crisis, I would say Bergerac, maybe, if you have no opinion on that.
So if the pub catches fire, Bergerac.
He'd take off his pleather bomber jacket and beat it out immediately, and everyone would be saved.
Yeah. Well, on that image of John Nettles beating it out.
Thanks for coming, Jacob. Bye! Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed, at Box Delights Pod. Come and say hello. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com
Tessa McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.